We continue our learning. We're going to discuss the Zav, a little introduction. The Torah speaks at the end of Parshas Metzora about the Zav. The Zav is someone who has a very high level of tumor, assuming he has two of these flows from his body. This male is an Av HaTumma. And after two of the issues from his body, this Torah says that he's metame tumas midras. That means that even if he doesn't touch something, he can be metame something by just leaning on it, sitting on a bed or a chair or something that you typically sit on. And even if he's sitting on the top of 10 mattresses, all the mattresses become tame. That's the tumas midras of the Zav. And this is true after he has two of these flows from his body. They can be even both on the same day. And when they stop, he has to count 7 clean days. And only then, after he goes to the mikvah, but may have to go to mayon. It's not sufficient that he go, like a nida is able to go to a mikvah. A zava, there's a question. We assume a zava usually, can go to a mikvah as well, which is eshborim, which is gathered rainwater. But a zava has to go to a mayon, has to go to a mayon, to a spring. So that is the halacha after counting 7 clean days. Then he becomes tahor after immersing himself in mei mayon. If he had 3 re'iyos, so then in addition to the fact that he's tamei medras, a very high level of tamei nava tuma, and has to go to the mayon, but he also has to bring a carbon. So that's what the Mishnah says here. Ein bein zav ha'or shtei rios l'roes shalosh el a carbon. The only difference between a zav who sees 2 rios and one that sees 3 is bringing a carbon. As we said, even after 2 rios, 2 of these experience, 2 issues from his body, he still is going to be tameh. And this very high level of tumah, and has to go to immerse himself in a mayon, as in this is av hatumah. But after 3, then he has to bring a carbon. Mishnah then speaks about the mitzora. Now the Torah speaks of Parshas Tazria, Parshas Mitzora. The Torah speaks about the mitzora. The mitzora has certain rules. He has to rend his garment like an avil, very similar to an avil in many ways. He has to let his hair grow, and it has to remain uncut as long as he has the tzaras. He has to cover his head. His face has to be covered down until his upper lip. Very similar to an avil as well. Some of these practices we don't have today as an avil, but nonetheless, these are the laws of an avil, very similar to the laws of a mitzora. Now, the tzaras, the primary tzaras that someone has, the symptom of tzaras, is a baheres, is a white spot on the body. And if that spot has 2 hairs that have turned white, then we call that person a mitzora mukhlat. Mukhlat means he's confirmed as a mitzora, and all of the laws of tzaras apply to him. What if he has a white spot, this baheres, but there are no white hairs there? They're just the regular black hairs. So then we make him a mitzora muskar. We isolate him for 7 days, and then to see what happens, we observe, the Kohen comes and observes the spot, assesses it, and see what happens. That stage, he's only a mitzora muskar, and certain laws of tzaras apply, but not all of them. To determine whether a particular tzaras is real, is going to make him into a mukhlat or not, we know is obviously done by a kohen. And our Mishnah is going to discuss the difference between the mitzora muskar, the one who is confined, to the one who is mukhlat, to the one who is confirmed as a mitzora. So Mishnah says, "Ein bein mitzora muskar le mitzora mukhlat ela fria ufrima." The only difference between them is letting the hair grow wild, and rending the garments, which means that the mitzora mukhlat, the confirmed mitzora, he has to let his hair grow long and wild and rend his garments. The mitzora muskar, the one who's confined, where we're still seeing we're going to reassess the spot after a week, he is exempt from those requirements. Tosfos Yomtos makes the following point. He says that the mitzora muskar, the one who's confined, is also exempt from covering his head down to the upper lip, because that's something that's specific for the mitzora muklat, although the Mishnah doesn't mention it. Then the Mishnah says, "Ein bein tohor mitoch hesger le tohor mitoch hechlet Ela Tiglachas Vitziparim. There's no difference between someone who's becoming Tahor after being confined, Mitzora Muskar, to someone who's becomes Tahor from Hechlet, from being confirmed as a Mitzora, except Tiglachas Vitziparim, which means that the Tara process of Mitzora, which is discussed in the Chumash, we say like this: on the first day, he has to shave his entire body, and he has this whole ceremony with two birds, one which is slaughtered, one which is thrown al Hasadez, which is set free. And that's only for the Mitzorah Mulcha, the confirmed Mitzorah. That whole ceremony ritual with the two birds is not for a Mitzorah Muskar. The sacrifices that the Mitzorah Mukhlat brings on the eighth day is also something he brings, and the Mitzorah Muskar does not. Why does the Mishnah mention it? So the Mishnah is only discussing with the ceremonies that are performed on the day that he becomes Tohar, but indeed there are other differences as well. One other point is that we've been discussing this: the baharis, the white spot. Do the hairs inside the white spot have two hairs turn white or not? That's not the only symptom. There's another symptom of tzaras, and that is you could have where the it's a white spot, but it became enlarged during the week of being a tzara muskar, and then that could also possibly make someone could make him tamei after that time period. Perek Aleph Mishnah Ches. Another Ein Bein Sfarim Letzfilin and Mezuzos. It's no difference between Sifrei Torah scrolls and Tfilin and Mezuzos parchment. Elashah Sfarim Nechtavin B'chalashon. This Sifrei Torah can be written in any language. Utfilin and Mezuzos Ein Nechtavos Ela Ashuris. Tfilin and Mezuzos must be written in the Ashuris, the Assyrian script. So let's give a little background. Mish is saying that there's no difference between Sifrei Torah and Tefillin Mezuzos regarding, let's say, we have to sew them together with sinews. That's required for both of them. And not only that, all of these scrolls the Chachamim made a gzera that if you touch the cloth of Torah, for example, your hands become tummy. That would be true regarding all of these. But the difference is the fact that Sifrei Torah can be written in any language and in any script, which means it can be translated into another language, and the Hebrew text can be transliterated into a script that's not Hebrew. That's true when it comes to Sifrei Torah. But Tefillin and Mezuzos can only be written in Ashuris. Ashuris, we call that the Assyrian characters. That means that the Torah was originally written, we assume, in the ancient Hebrew script, which you find in many, in stones, that engraved into stones that we find in Eretz Yisrael. In the times of Belshazzar of Bavel, remember the story in Daniel where there was a handwriting on the wall, so people weren't able to read what that was. And we assume that from that point on, by the fact that Hashem gave this nevuah through this way, Hashem says, you know what, there's going to be a new writing. And that writing Ezra wrote, and he wrote his Torah, which in what was called Ksav HaNishtavon in Ezra and Perek Dalet. And that's the Ksav that started with Ezra that is the Ksav that we have today, known as Ksav Ashuri or Ksav Ashuris. Some say because it's mi'ushar, it's something, it's praiseworthy more than all the other scripts. It's the block letters that we have in our Sifrei Torah. But it was also brought to Eretz Israel through Ashur, through Assyria, says the Yerushalmi. And therefore, that's why we call it Ksav Ashuris. So that is something that's needed for Tefillin Mezuzos, but not for Sifrei Torah. Then Raman Shimon ben Gamliel Omer Af Bas Sfarim Lo Hitiru Sheikasu El Yevanis. He does not go as far as the Tanakhama. Tanakhama says you can write Sifrei Torah in any language, in any script, and he says no. When it comes to that, it could only in Greek. The only permitted script and language other than Hebrew was Greek. Based on what? So the pasuk in Parshas Noach Yaft Elokim LeYefes VYishkon BeOhel LeShem Yaft Fufso shel yefes, meaning the beauty, the language, the lashon hayafes shel kol b'nei yefes. Yefes had many children. Yavon was one of them. Yishkon ba'alei shem. So the nicest of all the languages we have in Parshas Noach, Yavon was one of the children. So it comes to teach you that the Greek language and script is going to be found in the Bate Medrash and Bate Knesset of the descendants of Shem, Yishkon Bahale Shem. So that means they can write Sifrei Torah in Greek. Now, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, his opinion was accepted as a halacha. We don't use, as you see, you don't see Sifrei Torah written in Greek anymore in the Greek script, and that's because we assume that the language over time, that ancient Greek has been corrupted by other dialects, and that's why we write our Sifrei Torah only in Hebrew.